All right. Well, thank the Lord for a beautiful day. It's good to see you. Oh, I'm loud this morning. And I trust the Lord will bless us as we look into His Word. We're at Psalm 27, where we left off. If you don't mind to go there in your Bible this morning. And last week we talked in the end of verse 6 about singing praises unto the Lord. And when you come to church to offer Him a sacrifice, offer Him the sacrifice of joy and rejoicing in the goodness of God and His blessings and all kinds of things, answers prayer. And it dawned on me this week, I noticed this week about something, I started to worry about something. And so I kind of checked something about myself, and sure enough, it was something I hadn't prayed about. And it's funny how that works. And once you cast your care on the Lord, it certainly relieves you of a lot of worry and fear in life to trust in Him. We're at verse 7. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, have mercy also upon me, and answer me. And let's pray. Thank you, Father, for the Scriptures this morning. We pray that You'll bless us in an understanding of the Word of God, and that You might come and minister to our hearts. Thank You for each one who is able to come this morning. And bless and encourage those who want to be here and aren't able this morning. And we pray that You might minister through Your Spirit in our lives this morning, the things that we need and the things that should come to our attention, would come to our attention while we look in the Word of God. And we pray that You'll bless this time, Father, and stand near us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, you know, and now my head's going to be lifted up above my enemies in verse 6 of Psalm 27, and then verse 7, hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. It almost sounds like the trouble, whatever trouble he was dealing with earlier, has returned. there's perhaps some danger. But here when I call out to You in prayer, well, God always hears us, right? He always hears us. Then why this statement here and many others like it in the Scriptures? Hear, O Lord, when I cry, and when I call out loud, because that's what cry is, with my voice. Why this, if God always hears? He hears every word you speak. He hears every thought you think. So, why this, do you think? All right. Let me try then. I think this because sometimes, although we know God hears, He doesn't answer right away, so it doesn't seem like He has heard us. But here it's actually a statement to hear the words that I've said, to hear the intent in my heart. hear me when I cry with my voice. And the idea is hear intelligently, hear with interest. It's like saying, hear with your heart. It's like you can be talking to somebody and they can be hearing what you say, but not really latching on to it. I don't know how to say it any other way than that. Not really hearing with their heart. And I like it if I'm talking to someone about the Lord, for example, I like it when someone will look me right in the eye. It's like they're listening intently to everything you say. You know the Lord is really working in that person's heart. This is similar to that. This is asking the Lord to hear with a great interest what I have to say. That's what David is saying. It's like, you know, really listen. We say it to someone, you know, listen carefully to what I'm going to say. And that's kind of what he's asking the Lord to do. Listen to my prayer when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. And don't just hear my prayer, but answer. Isn't that what we're always looking for when we pray? We're always looking for an answer. And we want the Lord to bring that about. So have mercy also upon me. Now, often when we think of mercy, we just think in terms of God not giving us what we deserve. Often, you know, we simplify grace and mercy and say, well, grace is God giving us what we do not deserve, and mercy is Him not giving us what we do deserve. But there's much, much more to that, to mercy, than just that. Mercy, essentially, means to stoop down, like to bend low, save to a small child, to give attention and help and kindness to an inferior. It's kind of like we lost our dog a few months ago, but we had him for 12 years. And border collies are quite a friend of, become quite a friend of yours. They're always interested in you and pleasing you and caring about you. But it's like, he really was Marlene's dog. And his business was her. Everywhere she went in the house, he followed her around, always. And made sure she was all right. Like, he had to protect her. He didn't worry about me. But he had to protect her. He liked to go on runs with me and stuff. I'd take the bicycle and he'd run beside me. And he loved that because he loved to run. But and he loved lots of other things. You know, I would play tug of war with him. I'd fool with him. And my wife never did things like that. But because she trained him and I was at work, especially, because she spent a lot of hours with him when he was just a little puppy. So we had him all the way up. But, you know, if she went out, sometimes he'd wait at the door. He'd go down to the door and wait there until she came back. Even if I was home. But she says he did that also when I was out sometimes. He would go down to the door and he wouldn't spend time with her. But if I was home, he was always with her. And so she left sometimes. He would be like, you know, he wanted to go with her and you know, feeling bad. And she always gave him treats when she left for work because he's at the top of the stairs there looking so sad because she was leaving. Oh, do you have to go back to work again? Sort of thing, you know. I thought you were going to stay home with me. And sort of the sad eyes sort of thing. And so you reach down and you pat him or you give him a treat and you care about him. Well, the dog is in some respects anyway inferior to us in God's creation, certainly. And so you bend down to care for him. Or of a small child. A child comes wanting to speak to you or something, maybe even not your own child. And so you have to bend down. Well, I do with my ears anyway, to hear what the child is saying. Whether it's a grandchild or someone else's child, whoever it might be. Mercy has that idea. It has the idea that Almighty God would bend down. Even David says in some of the Psalms, incline thine ear unto me, which really has the idea of put your hand to your ear to hear carefully what I'm saying. And mercy in prayer is God showing such a great interest in me. He who is holy and he who is almighty and he who is perfect, interested in me who am but dust and ashes. I believe Job said, or perhaps David, that it's repeated a number of times in the scriptures. So what are we? We're the dirt of the ground. We nothing really about us. And God is great and we are weak and pitiful and sinful. And so mercy, to bend low. Mercy has to do with all the kindness. God being kind to us. And the understanding, kindness just comes out of your heart for anybody. But for God to be be kind to us and care about what's going on in our lives and treat me with favor, you know, treat me special. You know, I have no call on God. You have no call on God to treat you special. And yet He does. And He does that. And so that's the idea here when He says, have mercy also upon me and answer me. And because I don't deserve to be heard. Of course, you know, you could say, well, I do deserve to be heard because I am a child of God. Yes, we have a certain, we have standing with God as His child, and so we do deserve to be heard in that respect. But when you look at yourself and what you are, you have to say, well, I don't deserve to be heard by God. And so have mercy upon me and hear me. David is recognizing that the kindness and the favor and the bending low to consider him needs to be brought about in order for his prayer to be answered. All right, I want to talk about have mercy upon me and answer my prayer. Why wouldn't my prayer be answered? Okay, we need to look at that. Why wouldn't my prayer be answered? Well, number one, sin in my life and in your life blocks any prayer from being heard. It can interfere with any kind of prayer. It may interfere with certain prayers. sin is there. And so let's look at that very quickly in Psalm 66. Psalm 66. And just look at verse 18. In verse 17, he says, I cried unto him with my mouth, and he was extolled with my tongue. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. But verily, or truly, God hath heard me. He says, he hath attended to the voice of my prayer. Prayer has its own voice with God. He has attended, he's paid attention to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, which hath not turned away my prayer, nor his mercy from me. An important verse is verse 18. Now, he's saying that he knows that God has heard his prayer because implied there is that he has taken care of sin in his life. He's dealt with sin in his life, and so he knows that God has heard his prayer. But the statement, if, because it was true at other times in his life, that there was iniquity in his heart and the Lord was not answering his prayer, particularly there was a time after his sin with Bathsheba that was certainly like that. If I regard iniquity in my heart, to regard means to look at. To look at something. If you have regard for something, you look at it. You consider it. You gaze at it. It's like the first flowers of my roses that come out in the front garden. I always go out and have a good look at them. For some reason, the one rose flower grows, I think, pink roses. I'm colorblind, so I'll just guess at that. I think it's pink or red. But first thing in the spring, always grows yellow. You know, it's a hybrid sort of thing, so the weird things happen. But those yellow, it comes up mostly with the yellow roses first thing. And then it just has a few throughout the year. And I see yellow well, and so I really like those yellow roses. And so I'll go out and just have a good look at them because I haven't had a chance to see roses all winter long. I like to see them and see what God has made and see how beautiful they are. And so I take time to just look at it. And, you know, people are walking down the sidewalk. What is he doing? I'm standing there looking at my roses. that God gave us. And but when you gaze at something, you consider all the detail. You consider all about. What if you're looking at sin in your life that you will not repent of, or you will not confess, and you're looking at that, and you're considering even perhaps the ramifications of that, of what you know. We think we know what can happen with sin sometimes, and David says, if I regard iniquity, if I look at it like that, I know it's there, and I consider it, and I think about it even. Then when I come to pray, guess what's going to happen? The Lord will not hear me, because sin, known sin, I must say, known sin in our lives, because I think often there are sins that we don't know about either. But if I do know about it and I don't deal with it, then that's going to block an answer to prayer. Now maybe, certain prayers perhaps, but perhaps also all prayer. And so that's a very serious thing. So if you're in the habit of underlining things in your Bible, underline this verse, because this verse is a key verse for the Christian life. Do not have sin in your life that you know about if you want to have an effective prayer life. Deal with sin, because sin does indeed block the answers to prayer. And so so that's number one. Sin blocks the answers to prayer. Number two, what interferes with prayer? Well, if you look at your life, if you look at yourself, what do you see? I hope you're honest. One of the greatest problems in Christianity is that Christians are not honest. And of all the greatest lies you ever told, to lie to yourself is probably the worst thing. Lying to yourself and lying to God. Don't lie to yourself and lie to God about what you really are. We should know certain things about us. For example, we should know that we are weak. You should not flatter yourself about how strong you are. You're not. Might as well be honest. We know that often we are evil. Our intentions or our desires, or we know how easily sin can affect us. We fail every day. And so we just need so much help from the Lord. And so if you go to the book of Lamentations, after the book of Jeremiah, in between there and Ezekiel, we should be able to find a book called Lamentations. All right, Lamentations chapter 3. This is a small little book. Now, there's lots of things here about Jeremiah. Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, and preaching to a people who had no interest in the Lord or in following Him or serving Him. But Jeremiah begins to reflect on how God dealt with him personally. And the difficulties of life. For example, in verse 11 he'll say, Lamentations 3:11, turned aside my ways and pulled me in pieces and hath made me desolate. He hath bent his bow and set me as a mark for the arrow. He hath caused the arrows of his quiver to enter into my reins. I was a derision to all my people and their song all day. And so people made fun of him. And he hath filled me with bitterness. He made me drunken with wormwood. He hath also broken my teeth with gravel stones. He hath covered me with ashes. And thou hast removed my soul far off from peace. I forgot prosperity. He's talking about when Jerusalem was overthrown and all the people taken into captivity and everything stolen that was of any value by the Babylonians. And I said, my strength and my hope is perished from the Lord. He was so discouraged by the things that happened. He was so discouraged by the people because they wouldn't listen. If they would have repented, then then all of that trouble perhaps could have been averted. But in verse 19 he says, remembering mine affliction and my misery, the wormwood and the gall. Now, the wormwood is a reference to bitterness. I don't know much about wormwood, but I know when I look up the word wormwood, it, in the Hebrew, it similarly means bitterness. The wormwood and the gall. Well, gall, there's a number of references to gall. Gall is really from the gall bladder. It's poison, actually. My wife, when she was four when your gallbladder broke? Six? Appendix. Right, was your appendix. Similar problem, that's right. Yeah, you don't want a gallbladder blowing up. Poison, the poison of gall. She said, I remember these things in life. I remember, if you look back on your life, remembering bitterness and poison. And then he said, my soul hath them still in remembrance and is humbled in me. The afflictions and the tragedies of life, perhaps his own personal sins, all these things, he had those in remembrance. But then he thinks of something else in verse 21. This I recall in my mind, therefore I have hope. If I just think about my own sins and my own failings and the struggles of life, the bitterness of things that happen to you, and the poison of those things, those things are humbling. But then he said, I remember something that gives me hope. And then it's verse 22. It is of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. This is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. It is of the Lord's mercies, his favor, his kindness, that we're not consumed. The word consumed, when he thought about the Jews, of course, many of them were killed. Many of them were taken hostage and into slavery into Babylon. But some were left. The poorest of the land were left. Not everybody was taken away from there. In that, certainly in that first enslaving of the land and assault of the land by the Babylonians. He says it is of the Lord's favor that we're not consumed. The only reason any of us are left, that we're not destroyed, he said, is the favor of God. We deserve to be, but there's the Lord's mercies again, he said, in us. Because his compassions fail not. His compassions is the word for his tender love toward us. His great pity on you and I. His compassions for you and I, his pity and his concern for us, they don't come to an end. They don't fail. His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Every morning. There's new mercy from God. Everyone, great is thy faithfulness. Abounding is the faithfulness of God. And his firmness, his steadiness, you can always depend on him. Great is thy faithfulness. They are new every morning. The mercies of God are new every morning. If the morning you face is the worst morning of your life, then in that morning, all of God's mercies are new again to you. The mercy of God. If the morning is following the night of our sins and rebellion against God, then in the morning, still, the mercy of God is extended to us, and great is his faithfulness to us, even if we have not been faithful to him. There's some mornings that are horrible mornings to face in this world, but there's never a morning that God's mercies aren't all brand new to you and I. And this is my portion, and that's where we need to live. When we say, "This is my portion," And not that this is what is deserved, but this is what can come to us in serving the Lord. This is my possession. Therefore, while I hope in Him, I will trust in Him. I'll wait for Him. I'll be patient for Him. We need mercy. And even in the destruction of Jerusalem, Jeremiah could see the mercy of God. That's why they weren't consumed. That's why they weren't wiped out as a nation. And that's why, and all down through history, Israel will never be wiped out as a nation. Though if Iran had their way today, there wouldn't be a Jew alive on the face of the earth. But they will never be able to wipe out the Jews because God is protecting them and showing them favor because they're His chosen people. And His compassions fail not. And so, sin blocks prayer. We know what we are, and so we need to be honest with what we are. But thankfully, in spite of us and the troubles that we may have seen in life, the faithfulness and the mercy of God is always there. Now, thirdly, another thing that might interfere with prayer, I might say, Lord, take care to answer my prayers, might be because we may have refused to listen to Him at some point in the past. And for that, if you go to Proverbs chapter 1, one of the best discussions of what happens when you don't listen to God is here in the first chapter of Proverbs, written to young people. I don't know, maybe because young people have a habit to not want to listen. I know some young people who are like that. In Proverbs 1 and verse 24, because I have called and you refused, I stretched out my hand, trying to get your attention. That's what, when you're preaching and you stretch out your hand, trying to keep people's attention. God says, I stretched out my hand and no man regarded. Nobody paid attention. But you've said it not, or all my counsel. You put my counsel aside as no good. My advice, the word of God. You set the word of God as no good. And would none of my reproof. You wouldn't even listen to me when I was rebuking you. Therefore, I'll laugh at your calamity. I'll mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction comes as like a whirlwind, like a tornado. When distress and anguish come upon you, they shall call upon me, but I'll not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. We may have refused to listen to the Lord. And why should He listen to us? But the one marvelous thing about mercy is if we ask for the mercy of God, this does not happen. Proverbs gives the way that it usually goes, because when we won't listen to God, we usually won't ask Him for mercy either. We've turned our ear away from Him. But if we do, then this does not happen. And it may be what we deserve, but again, mercy can do that. Mercy can turn things away from what we deserve to happen to us to what can happen in the grace and mercy of God. And so we come to Psalm 27 and verse 8, if you would, please. When thou saidest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. What a wonderful verse in the Word of God. When you said to me, turn to me, look at me, listen to me, be interested in me, open the Bible and read it, pray, go to church. When the Lord said to me, seek ye my face, He said, what I want you to do, you look to me, you be interested in me. What kind of an answer did David have for God? And you'll notice, he doesn't tell us what he said with his lips. He tells us what he said from his heart. His heart said, thy face, O Lord, will I seek. Right now, that's what I'll do. Now, When does God speak to us and say, seek ye my face? Well, in the Word of God, He speaks to us. We should always be reading the Word of God every day. Spend time in the Word of God. God speaks to us through His Word. It's the way the Spirit of God has always spoken to people, through His revealed Word. The Lord speaks to us by our needs. We have needs in our life. I don't know if you've ever noticed, but things go wrong in this world. Just occasionally. Like every single day, something's going wrong. And when things go wrong, everything that goes wrong speaks to us that we need the Lord, that we need to turn to Him, we need to turn our attention to Him, and seek Him. I am glad for things that go wrong in people's lives that lead them to being saved and seeing their need of being saved. I pray for things to go wrong in people's lives that I know that are not saved. And I pray for things to go wrong that God can use to get someone's attention, to see that they're lost in their sins, they have absolutely no hope of heaven, and that they need Him, because God uses our needs. And just recently I was reminded of that, that's what God uses to see people saved, but He uses it all through our lives. Anything, any need of any kind, physical, mental, spiritual, whatever it might be, in our lives and the lives of someone we love, those needs speak to us that God is calling, saying, seek ye my face. God wants us to look to Him. Now, there are times of specific trouble, and we looked at that, I think we looked at that last week, that there are times of trouble in our lives. And in those times of trouble, God's trying to teach us something, but He's saying, look to me. He's the answer. After we have sinned, I believe, is a time when God is saying, seek ye my face. You've walked away. Hey, come back, God says. Return to me. He's desiring us that we would seek His face in answered prayer. Every time a prayer is answered, we're not done. You shouldn't ever be done when you spent time in prayer and maybe begging and pleading and searching your own heart that things are right with God and things are done that you've promised to Him and all of those things. And when the prayer is answered, you're not done. That answer to prayer is God saying, look what I've done for you now. Where do you need to look? You need to look to Him. You need to look to Him in thanksgiving and appreciation and gratitude for all that He's done for us. So even in answer to prayer, God is saying that to us every day in everything. I often think as I admire trees and I admire the spruce tree. I always think the spruce tree is pointing. It's always pointing up to God. The whole thing is a point, you know. And every time I often see that, or not every time I see it, but often when I see it, I think, there's the tree pointing. Where should you look? Look up there. Look up to God and look at His face. David said, when thou saidest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, O Lord, will I seek. What does your heart say to God when God says, seek ye my face? What do we say out of our hearts? Do we say, well, I'll get around to that sometime, but I'm too busy right now, Lord? That's a problem. That's a problem if we cannot immediately turn to God in everything that we're doing. We become too busy with the things of the world. We become too busy with what I'm doing right now. Whatever I am doing right now is not nearly as important as seeking the face of God. Even if I'm at work, or even if I'm driving, or trying to fix a problem at work, I'm reminded that my mind should not wander very far away, but it should go back to communing with God and being close to Him and thinking about Him and seeking Him. We should not be so selfish with our
own personal interests that we cannot seek God in them. And indeed, we need to include God in all that we think, in all that we are doing. If God says unto us, as He does, "Seek ye my face," do we say, "Go away"? I know some people do. Some people may not say those exact words, but literally they're saying to God, "Go away. I don't want to talk to you right now. I'm busy with my own life, or I'm just stubborn right now, and I don't want to seek you right now." Or perhaps when God says, "Seek ye my face," some people even say, "No, not doing it. No way." In bitterness, the bitterness of a heart can say to God, "I will not seek you." How terrible to be like that. And sometimes in apathy we might say, "Well, maybe later, but not right now." But David said, "When you said, 'Seek ye my face,' my heart immediately said, 'Thy face, O Lord, will I seek.'" David said, "That's what I want to do. I want to, right now, seek your face." And he had that tender heart towards God, which is so, so important. Now I want to look at a couple of scriptures in this regard. Deuteronomy chapter 4, if you would, please. Way back here in Deuteronomy chapter 4. Deuteronomy 4, verse 27. "And the Lord shall scatter you." And he's talking about if they turn their back on God and they start serving idols and all the troubles that are going to happen to them. And it's going to end with this. We don't have time to read it all. You can read it there in chapter 4. But "and the Lord shall scatter you among the last thing he would promise is that they would go in slavery, not just to one nation, but all over the world. God would scatter the Jews. And ye shall be left few in number among the heathen, whither the Lord shall lead you. And there ye shall serve gods, the work of men's hands, things that aren't gods, wood and stone, which neither see nor hear, nor eat nor smell. But," here we go, "but when you're that low, when you're that, when that many bad things have had to happen to you, where you have nothing left, you have no land left, you have no family left, you have no possessions left, you have no freedom left, you're in countries worshiping false gods, there's nothing left. But if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him. If thou seek him with all thy heart, and with all thy soul." And then he goes on to mention the other things. But this verse, you know, if you've wandered that far away from God, if you've been that stubborn to God and haven't listened to his many corrections, and you're that low, you have nothing left really, if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him. What a tremendous promise. If thou seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul. Why? Because that's the only way to seek God in the first place. Any other seeking of God that is merely the mouthing of religion, the going through of motions, that's not seeking God. The seeking God of just merely appearing in church and physically sitting there, that's not seeking God. It's seeking God when we come to church and we turn to the Lord with all of our heart and with all of our soul and with all of our strength to love Him and to obey Him and to surrender to Him and to worship Him. It is not, God is not pleased with any worship. God is not pleased with any giving. God is not pleased with anything we do to Him that is not with all of our heart. We must seek Him with all our hearts. He says, if you are there and you've had the judgment of God to the last degree practically, except that you're still living, if you seek God then, he said, with all thy heart, with all thy soul, you'll find Him if you truly seek Him. And David said, "That's what I want to do." When I heard God say, "Seek ye my face," A little still small voice, a tiny little voice, a little inclination in my heart. Hey, I need to talk to God right now. David said, immediately, that I said, that's what I want to do. My heart said, thy face, O Lord, will I seek. Yes, I will. I'll seek you right now. 1 Chronicles chapter 28. 1 Chronicles, if you would please. 1 Chronicles 28. We've only got 5 minutes, but I'll look at a couple of things here quickly. 1 Chronicles. Oh, that's help if I was in 1 Chronicles. Here we go. 1 Chronicles 28. This is David to Solomon. And look at verse 9, please. And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father. And what? Serve him with a perfect heart. Do you know what the word perfect means there? It means whole. Serve God with your whole heart, he's saying to his son. You want to come to the throne. You want to lead the people of Israel. He said, here's the secret to being a good king. Seek God with all your heart. Serve him that way. And with a willing mind. A willing mind is a mind that is delighting in God. That is just thrilled with God. Why? For the Lord searcheth all hearts and understanding, and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. But if thou forsake him, he'll cast thee off forever. He won't be king if you don't serve the Lord. He says, serve the Lord with your whole heart. Why? You know, look what he's saying. You can't just pretend. Because the Lord knows, he searches all the hearts and the understanding, the imagination of the thoughts. He said, the Lord knows if you're seeking him with all your heart, you're just going through the motions. If you're just putting you through the time in, that's not the same thing. But if you truly seek him with your whole heart, he'll be found of you. You'll find the Lord if you look. And then to Rehoboam in 2 Chronicles chapter 12. We have 1 minute. 2 Chronicles chapter 12. Now Rehoboam was not a good king, or a godly king. And here's why. 2 Chronicles 12:14 says about Rehoboam, and he did evil because he prepared not his heart to seek the Lord. And then it mentions the various various things about seek the Lord. How do you seek the Lord? Well, you can seek the Lord in the Word of God, in studying the Bible, and reading the Bible, meditating in the Scriptures. You can seek the Lord in prayer, attending church. But you see, Rehoboam went to the services at the temple. He went. But here's the thing. He didn't seek God with all his heart. And when it says he prepared not his heart to seek God, It's saying that he may have had some outward things that looked like he was perhaps the same as Solomon, but he wasn't the same at all. He didn't prepare his heart to seek the Lord. He didn't seek him with all his heart. He didn't spend the time with God that he needed to do. And so in the end, he went away and served idols instead. And terrible thing. And there's one other reference I wanted to get to, but I don't have time this morning. And God says, seek ye my face. What willingness is there in us to say, thy face, O Lord, will I seek? And such an important verse in the Bible. Well, let's pray. Thank you, Father, for the Scriptures and for your word, and pray you'll bless it to our hearts and to our understanding, that we might seek the Lord, that we might find you calling to us throughout the various things of life, saying, seek ye my face. And Lord, when we hear it, I pray we would immediately respond and say, that's what I want to do. Thy face, O Lord, will I seek. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.